Welcome to the Inner Leader Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Tran, and I'm here to serve your highest purpose on this planet, discovering who you are and what you are meant to do. Each week, I will bring to you conversations that will elevate your mind, deepen your awareness, and expand your heart to help you unlock your inner leader. Before we dive in, make sure you subscribe to our podcast to tune in on the daily. Without further ado, let's get started. Our inner leader of this week is Lori Cuquera. Lori is the CEO and co-founder of Sparks Creation, where she inspires people and companies to create meaningful cultures and workplaces. Spark Creation partners with business owners, leaders, and teams that want to make a difference in the world. Lori believes that leadership and culture starts with the leaders themselves. In this amazing episode with Lori, I ask her the questions of how do we create great culture? And what is at the core of a great culture? And I later ask her, what makes a great leader? And in her own definition, she says, a great leader is someone who takes ownership for themselves, leading themselves and then leading others, empowering other people, lifting them up, coaching and loving them. In this episode, Lori also shared her top daily morning ritual that she stands by to create an amazing day for herself. She also openly shared about the lessons that she learned through her divorce. So stay tuned and listen to this episode with Lori. Welcome to the Inner Leader Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really grateful for your presence here with us today.
Great. I'm so excited for our conversation, Lindsay. Thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome. So as a founder, entrepreneur, and a business owner, how can we create great cultures within our company? What is at the core of a great culture?
Wow, we're going right into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's first define what culture is, because I think there are many definitions of culture depending on who you speak and where they are, you know, like in terms of where they are in their career. I think when you first start into a company, you're pretty excited. And then you've been with a company for 20 years and maybe, or you're a little bit older and you have different life experiences. So your perspective on culture might be different. But if we were just to generalize, and the definition that came out of our research recently for the BC Workplace Culture Scan Report, we define culture as the heart and energy of a shared human experience. And I just want to highlight shared human experience there, because I think we've forgotten over the years, or for many, many years, that a company or a culture is really a collective of human beings that just happen to be under the same roof, you know, and they're working towards something, if that is like an employer kind of situation. But there's a culture within a family, there's a culture within a couple, or a culture within you as an individual, Lindsay. Like, we all have something that's already within us. And where it gets complicated is when you bring multiple people into an organization and say, okay, we've got to have Lindsay and Lori and maybe Kristen, and now we're bringing all these individual people, and now we have to create a culture, and now it's about blending the cultures within us to create the DNA of this unique whatever it is that we're creating. So I don't know if that answered your question. Now I feel like I wanted to answer the question about culture, but what was your first question again?
That I find it really interesting that you're speaking of a shared experience among individuals within a company. So my question for you was, how do we create great culture within our company? And what is at the core of a great culture?
Yeah, so at the core of a great culture is the people, right? So if we wanted to continue with it being defined as a shared human experience, it's all about the people. So if you were now open to creating the best workplace experience, which is, you know, within the collective of the people, then it's really starting with identifying or realizing that you already have a culture that exists within your company. As soon as you put one person and two people and start adding more people together, there is a culture already happening. But the companies that are really successful at creating a great culture, however they define what their ideal culture is when they take the time to articulate what is the culture within. So what I mean by that is they are taking the time to understand what is most important to each of the individuals within that organization by first defining their values and their behaviors. How do we do things? How do we make choices? How do we work together? If I were to walk into the hallways or attend one of your meetings, what are the interactions going to be like? You know, that's really the values and the behaviors. But then I also want to determine what is the why behind why we exist as a company. Why does every single person get up every morning to come to work? It's got to be more than just money or a specific role. It's got to be what makes that company unique in terms of the legacy or the impact, whatever it is that they're wanting to create. And a purpose statement is the why. It's different than the mission and the vision. Mission really describes the what and how. And then the vision is, okay, so now we know who we are and what we stand for, why we exist. You know, what is our vision? What is it that we want to create? 5 years, 10 years, however long we want to do this. And hopefully it's an infinite mindset where you want to create something for the long term, even, you know, even beyond, you know, yourself. And that's usually the type of companies that we like to work with. So if you have those three or four elements, we call them culture elements, and you create this culture story, then from that place, you want to then operationalize it because you want to bring more meaning. You want to bring your culture to life from those words into something that happens every day.
So you said it, the vision was the long term between 5, 10, 20 years or beyond your own lifetime. The mission statement was the what and the how. And the purpose statement is the why, right?
That's right.
Would you be able to share what is your vision statement, mission statement, and purpose statement for Spark Creation?
Ooh, so Spark Creations, I'll start with the values, which is love, connection, and fun. So love really means we have a kind of a behavior, or it means completely, which is a reminder to love ourselves as well as others, but we need to fill our cup in order to love others more completely. And love meaning we care for them. We want to make sure that they all feel seen, heard, and cared for. And then our connection is to build meaningful relationships, starting with ourselves. So it's, again, just always a reminder of leading self. And the fun is about creating wow moments, because we want to make sure everyone is, you know, getting out of their comfort zone, because that's where the growth happens. So like, how can we create spaces where they're really going to have this beautiful experiential interaction with themselves and with others. Our purpose statement is creating and inspiring loving human connections. So you can see that it's connected somewhat, but it's bigger. This is the thing that gets up in the morning. Yes, we're doing training and development. Yes, we're talking about culture and leadership development and team communications, all of the different programs. But at the end of the day, we hope that from those interactions, they're creating and inspiring loving human connections at work and at home. Ultimately, we want this to be generated for home. In terms of our vision, for 2020, you know, we're just going to continue doing the work that we're doing. It's still about, we're going to be launching our report. So hoping from that report, we'll be able to share more, but there's going to be some changes in Spark going forward as well. So it's kind of like, we're still working on the vision right now for 2020.
When you mentioned your values, being it love, fun, and connection.
Love, yeah. Connection, and fun. Yeah.
Love, connection, and fun. As a company and you being the executive, how did you come to find these values or create them and in returns operate them on a daily basis?
Yeah, so when Eileen and I, my business partner, so there's two co-founders, got together and started creating Spark, we knew intuitively that this is something that we need to get clear about. Even though we both worked in other organizations, we knew that values was an important piece. So she defined her personal values first, and I did as well. And then we themed it together to create love, connection, and fun. So that would be the same way that we would do it for other organizations. We start off by defining all of the personal values of every single team member. Then we gather all those values and then we combine it into their team values if they're in a larger organization or their company values. And we often do this as well to check in to see if these values still mean something. So we'd still run that whole process, have their existing values on board and see, okay, do these values still make sense? Are there anything that's missing from it? Or are we just reaffirming that these values still mean the same thing? And it's always good to check in with yourself individually, your team, and your organization. In terms of operationalizing the values, everything that we do, from recruiting to onboarding to any of our events, it always starts with our values. Okay, so if love, connection, and fun are our values, how do we embody these values or deliver experiences that have the feeling of love, connection, and fun? Are people being connected? Are they feeling cared for? Are they having fun? Are they creating some wow moments? So that's how we integrate it. Every time we have a quarterly meeting, we check in to see, are we living those values on a day-to-day basis? Even in our one-on-ones or even in our GIST calls, which is our Monday calls, we do this thing called gratitudes, intentions, support that we need, and true statements. And some of that is always relating back to their personal values or the values of the company.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. I was doing research on your company and different things that you do as your ways of approaching culture building. How do companies' culture story align purpose, drive success, and create lasting legacy?
So the way I'm going to answer this question is a little bit differently. So I know you've done a lot of work on values and purpose as well, right? I believe, Lindsay, you have that defined for yourself?
Yes.
Okay. So imagine, okay, so before that, how do you feel when you know your values and your purpose or your vision for yourself? How does it make you feel as an individual?
I feel very grounded and very aligned. And I feel when it comes to making decisions or when it comes to choosing directions and path in my life, when I know my values, purpose, it becomes much easier to make choices. And I see things a lot clearer.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. So you feel more grounded. It helps you make decisions quicker and you feel aligned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of those things. So imagine that is something that is happening within an organization, because it's already so complex with so many different personalities and beliefs and all these different backgrounds and experiences from all the different people. And when you want to create a diverse culture, then you have like the country, you know, backgrounds and everything that sort of, and the biases that kind of come in the way. So imagine if you have a clear culture story, which is values and behaviors and purpose and vision, and you're able to communicate that in a way that everyone understands it, right? So it has to be communicated and operationalized in a way that people connect with it. It can't just be words on the wall. People need to be part of the process and feel connected to it. Even if they weren't there when you defined your values, you still want to include something within the onboarding experience where they're still reflecting on how these values show up in their work, or how they're connecting their personal values with it. Like, you still need to facilitate some kind of experience for people who are coming onto your team a little bit later. But then once you have that, it's easier for people to work better with each other. They just get it. They you're attracting the right people, you're retaining the right people. Some people with some of that clarity will realize, you know what, I probably don't belong here, or I don't fit in, or they don't feel connected. And that's okay, because you want the people that are supposed to be there to be there. And there's a culture for everyone, and not every culture is going to be a match, just like, you know, relationships and friendships and partnerships. So, you know, having the clarity on both sides with the team member and or with the company just creates more alignment.
As a founder and CEO of Spark Creation and a leader, what is your number one priority in leading your organization?
Number one priority. Well, we always, for our team and for myself, it's about continuing to learn about ourselves so that we can be the best version for our team and our clients. And so that would be the same for our team. Like, that's what we want for each of our people. When we first started Spark and how we've continued to bring people on, we first start with them defining their personal values and their vision and purpose, because we want to make sure that they feel honored to be their most authentic self. Even though they're part of this Spark community, we don't want them to lose who they are being a part of this organization. We can still honor their, you know, who they are and still be able to collaborate and create something special. So that's just something that's been fully integrated from beginning throughout the whole time that they're with us or with, you know, with our clients. It's always about creating a space that honors the individual. And I hope that that is something, you know, when we're working with our clients, that they feel that as well. Like, we don't want to do this cookie cutter experience. You know, we have programs, but it has to be personalized because every person is different and we need to meet them where they're at.
At the Inner Leader, at the core, what we believe in is also all changes starts from within first. And it sounds like that's something that you practice on a daily as a leader as well, is to constantly think about different ways of improving yourself and becoming a better version of yourself. What are some practices that you do on a daily basis to improve yourself in that sense?
Yeah, so I have a daily morning ritual that every day that I do it, and when I don't do it or I miss something from it, I feel it now. Like, it's just been a part of it. Like, you don't realize how important it is while you're doing it. Like, you know, when you're brushing your teeth or you're exercising, you don't see it right away. But the moment that you miss it, something is misaligned, or, you know, you don't feel as connected or grounded. So starting my day off, and I'm a morning person, so I don't know if it's for everyone, but for me, I get up in the morning, I do my meditation and my gratitude journal and I stretch and I do some yoga and I also work out. And when I'm consistent with taking care of myself and starting with that, I feel so much more energized. I feel I've filled my cup with so much love that now I can go out there and share it, because it's less about me thinking about what I didn't do or did or should have done or whatever in my head. I let that go because I'm fully, you know, grounded, and then I just am able to be present for the people that I'm connecting with that day or that week. So I think it's really starts with honoring yourself, and then once you've done that, you feel good, and now you can just be the best version for others.
That's amazing. How long is your morning routine? Because sometimes I find mine can go anywhere from like 1 hour to like 3 hours.
Yeah, it can be that way for sure. I mean, I get up at 4 in the morning, and by the time I finish my meditation and my yoga and all of that, it'll be around 5 o'clock. And if I have some time, I might start reading. Because I do read a lot in terms of like just articles or a book or anything, just sort of spark some inspiration, because then I also then like to share on social media a lot, and I just feel it's a great way for me to express myself. So I like to learn, and then I like to learn in the hopes of being able to share that with others. So that happens, and then I'm ready for my spinning, and then after spinning, I'm home around 7 o'clock, and then, you know, I might continue with my reading, and then usually I don't book any clients till around 9 o'clock or 10. So I have a long morning routine as well, and I like starting early because it's more relaxing for me, so I'm not rushing.
Yeah. Oh, that's very similar to mine, except I don't wake up at 4:30, even though that's like one of my goals.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. It took me a while. I was doing 5 o'clock for a long time, and then I was able to move it to 4:30, and now I get up at 4.
Yeah, there was a period of time where I was pretty consistent with 5 a.m., but then I started sleeping late, and then like one day kind of, you know, messed up the other day, and so I'm slowly getting back into it. But that's so interesting that, you know, your routine, it sounds like you really prioritize your morning routine.
I try to, but on the weekends I'm off track. So I stay up a little bit later on Friday and Saturday. So it's usually a Monday to Friday kind of routine.
Okay, nice. Yeah. That's something that I'm actually still working on. 'Cause my morning meditation is usually about an hour. Mm-hmm. And then after that, some meditation sits can be very energizing. And I'm sure maybe you feel the fluctuations as well, like the changes in your morning sits. But sometimes I have like a really energizing meditation sit mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. morning, or sometimes it's like kind of slow and So I'm like going with the flow after that. And I'm like trying to find a better system, as in like how I can be consistent with the activities after the meditation.
Well, I created a little area and it has my gratitude journal there. And then I also, I forgot to mention, I visualize my vision for 2020. And I have a shared vision with my partner for 2025. So I sit there and I look at my goals and my vision and I kind of visualize, you know, as if it happened already. So I do that. And it's all in my area of where I do my meditation. So it's hard for me to forget to do any of that kind of stuff because it's like right in front of me.
Oh, wow. And you do this almost every day.
Almost every day. Yeah. Monday to Friday. If we don't go out on Friday night and I'm able to get to bed at a good time, then I'll wake up and I'll do it on Saturday. I try my best to do it on Saturday and Sunday. It'll just start a little bit later in the day.
What do you find is in the importance of doing visualization for your vision for 2020 or 2025?
Why do I find it important to do visualization?
Yeah. And how does it make you feel? What is the importance of that practice in your daily life?
Yeah. So for those people who haven't done visualization or are not familiar with it, it's a technique where you are visualizing something that you want to happen that's in the future. Like you're visualizing as if it's already happened. And there's a lot of studies around visualization, especially for athletes, where they'll visualize that they've already crossed the finish line, or that they're, you know, that they're getting the Olympic gold medal or whatever, if that's what your vision is for yourself. For me, my vision for 2020 is to finish my book and to launch it and publish it, and to be part of an organization where I'm really supporting them in terms of them creating the best workplace experience. And so those things, I would sit down and envision as if it already happens, like just from, you know, the people I'm with, the environment, like all your five senses, even the smell and the sounds, if you can do that. And the power of that is that it's always top of mind. And I feel, you know, whether you create a vision board or you do visualization, your mind doesn't know whether it's happening or not. Like it can't tell if what you're visualizing is real or not, because it's your thoughts are so powerful, which is why if you have any negative thoughts, it doesn't know that it's a negative thought. You have to be very careful with what you're thinking at all times and trying to reframe or change your perspective. And so the same thing goes with visualization. If you can envision it, you're likely, whatever you envision, for it to come true, because your brain thinks it's already true. So you start to attract all the things that you want because you're walking as if it's happened already.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the last few questions that I have for you is, what is your biggest why in everything that you do?
Mm-hmm. So I have a just cause, and that just cause idea came from The Infinite Game, which is a book written by Simon Sinek. He's one of my faves. And he talks about the just cause. It's a little bit different than a purpose, because your purpose is why you exist. But the just cause is like this big, powerful thing that you just, you know, if this could be something that is fulfilled, it would just be amazing. But it's also bigger than a vision. Like it's this, I don't know how to describe it, but it's this just cause, like you're willing to sacrifice everything and anything for it. And by creating something like that, it gives me so much more energy. I mean, my purpose and my values give me energy already, and so does my vision, but the just cause kind of brings it all together and really fires me up every day. And for me, the just cause is about, you know, it's a dream that one day every person in the world, every human being, feels really good about themselves. They've taken the time to learn about who they are. They accept their whole being, and they're just really good with themselves. And because they're so grounded in who they are, they can now, and they love themselves, they can now share that same love with others. That's like the dream, the big dream. And while I have that big dream, it's really tricky. You know, when I come across people, a lot of us haven't had the time to really be introspective, to learn more about ourselves. Maybe there's a little bit of fear of what we might uncover, or we just don't have the time because we're so focused in this materialistic world of just getting things done and achieving and defining success in you know, by the things that we've achieved or accomplished or gathered, right? If we looked beyond that and looked at ourselves as people and human beings and what our obligation is really to take care of ourselves so that we could take care of others, or if, you know, love, I always want to use the word love ourselves so that we love others. Can you imagine what the world would be like? There would be no ego. There would be no competition. There would be, you know, less, you know, people that are not being taken care of or any of that other inhumane behaviors that are happening in the world. All of that would be eliminated because we're living from a place of love versus fear.
Wow, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with the audience. I'm just absorbing it all in. That's very inspiring.
It's a lot. It's a lot, isn't it? It's a dream.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a lot, and I think it's totally doable, mm-hmm. because and it's really interesting that Simon Sinek put a term for that bigger vision, which is the just cause. And it makes me think about all of the times that I have done my introspection and learning about myself and through meditation and going on different journeys and for myself looking at life through my spiritual teaching with Buddhism. And I feel yes. like my just cause is to spread the seeds of awareness that similarly every human being on this earth would be able to have the opportunity, because, you know, like, it's something that they have to come to, like, create for themselves. They have to choose to take the time to have introspection and to learn about themselves. Mm-hmm. But I know in so many parts of the world where there's violence, where there's poverty, it makes it so much harder for those individuals. And that's one of my biggest dreams too, is to spread the seeds of awareness so that people can learn about themselves and in return, you know, cultivate so much love and compassion so that they can bring it out to the world and share it to the world. So personally for me, your vision is not too big, because I feel so aligned with that as well.
Yeah, and that's so beautiful, because I agree. You know, I think they're very similar. I might talk about it in love, but it's the same thing around the awareness piece and just being more conscious, because when you meet with people, like the majority of people, like especially when I ask them how many of you have defined your values, I would hardly get hands, you know, put up, because it's just something that they haven't thought about. And I didn't even think about it till I went through a divorce where I was left with, you know, I was desperate, left with trying to figure out who I am. And, you know, I had to hit rock bottom before realizing that. But what if people didn't have to wait for something bad to happen and they were just curious about being, you know, about themselves, and they're starting that journey of self-awareness? Now people can make choices from a place of awareness. And right now there's so much that is happening. And I don't know if people are doing it from, you know, from an awareness state, or they're just kind of like, oh, okay, that person's doing that and that person's doing that, I guess I should do that too. You know, especially with social media and technology and being able to see what everyone's doing, there's a lot of comparison, there's a lot of influence, and you think you're supposed to do something, you know, a certain way. And, or, you know, that's how I was raised too. I was raised to live a certain kind of life, and then realize, wait a minute, just because my mom and dad lived that life doesn't mean I want to live that life for myself. But, you know, it took a lot out of me to break away from that, you know, mold or that blueprint. And I think unless you have the courage to do that, it's so much easier just to wake up every day and just be in autopilot.
What was your biggest breakthrough coming out of the divorce and breaking outside of that blueprint? What was your biggest breakthrough?
When I saw a coach, and the coach helped me define my values and purpose, that was the start of it. Like, people think, because I've been doing Spark now for, you know, a little bit over 8 years, when I talk and they see me and the way I post and everything, they think I've been doing this forever. Being in personal development or leadership development has been something that's been part of my life longer. And the reality of it is I didn't really start the process till I went through my divorce in 2007 and really saw the coach about a year later and then started really getting curious. Like I even missed Oprah like back in the day. I'm only watching her stuff now because I just wasn't into it. I was like, I got a job, I got my nonprofit, and I'm just, you know, I feel like I'm doing what I need to do. And I never even thought about asking myself what I wanted. It was just more about what other people wanted and me living their lives versus my life. And so the moment that I started to understand that I'm actually a human being and I also have an opinion and voice that I could choose to live the life that I want, that until that moment, I was not doing that. So when I figured out that values and purpose was the way to uncover that, it gave me so much strength. Like I'm completely transformed in the just the way I saw myself in the world. And that was that moment.
Wow. Before I ask you the three top values, because I'm really curious about that, but what was the biggest lesson that you learned from your divorce? Coming out of the divorce, because I know relationships brings so many lessons, and we don't talk about them too much. I feel like, you know, when it comes to talking about career and blah blah blah, it's quite common to talk about our hardships or business and etc. But because I know that lessons in relationships are so much transferable to every other aspect of life. So I'm curious to see what was the biggest lesson for you coming out of a divorce.
Yeah, and you know what? I've never been asked that question. I think what came good out of that whole situation is I wouldn't have started Spark had I not gone through the divorce. So it was a blessing in disguise. And I guess the biggest lesson I learned this happened after divorce, you know, years later, reflecting on what happened. First of all, it takes two to be in a relationship. I used to think it was all his fault, but I had just as much of a role in every situation. So if there's two people that have a conflict, it's never always just one person. There's, you know, even if one person might be saying or doing something that might not be good, the other person also has a role in some way, either by not saying anything or condoning the behavior or whatever, right? So there's always two people in every relationship, and it takes two to make that relationship work. And I think the biggest lesson coming out of that was I learned that I was going into that relationship without any self-awareness, and so was he. And so when you have two people who are not awake and they're trying to make something work, they're just going to keep, you know, butting heads. There's no way to really communicate it because we're not communicating from a place of awareness. So it's the same thing with companies, right? Imagine you're creating a company and there's no clarity around the culture, but there's no self-awareness as well with the individuals that are coming to work every day. That's how ego gets in the way, conflict, miscommunication, or whatever, like any of that stuff happens because most people, we are not awake and it gets more complicated in the workplace. So that's what I learned about myself through the divorce. It was definitely, it had to happen for me to wake up.
Wow. And now, so after that, you saw a coach and you really worked on your values and your purpose. Mm-hmm. What would you say are your top three values as of now?
Top three values. I have five, but I can share the top three, which is...
Oh, you can share top five.
Can I share top five? Yeah, well, I like threes too.
Yes, of course.
We usually do threes, but I do have five values, which is strong heart, love first, guardian of people, connecting humanity, and dancer of life. And I actually got these values after taking a session with Kristen, who we both know. And it was wonderful because I had done the values piece like, you know, over a decade ago, and I haven't looked at it in a long time, even though we do this with clients all the time. And we did it with our personal development women's retreats. So it was really good. Again, we always have to check in to see, you know, are we still aligned with the values? because it's our checkpoint, it's our compass. So we need to make sure that they still mean something to us. And they're still pretty much the same values as I had before. I just changed the words slightly to create more meaning for me. Now that when I share these values, it just means so much more to me. And I even created photos and printed them on canvas, and it's like everywhere, so I could see it all the time. So Strong Heart is really a reminder to take care of myself, to have courage, that the strength is within me, the answers are within me. Love First is a reminder to love myself as well as others, you know, because I'm such a giver, and maybe even more of a rescuer sometimes. I say yes to things before I check in with myself. I'm learning to check in with myself through this value of Love First. It's also a reminder to love by example, because, you know, a lot of, again, people may not be as open to loving themselves. And I'm just going to continue to say, okay, here's what it means, and here's what it looks and feels like. So take a chance, you know, on loving yourself. Garden of People is really about giving back and taking care of others. I feel very strongly about mentorship and community building. So I always want to ensure that everyone I meet with feel seen, heard, and cared for. Connecting Humanity is something just as a bigger legacy. It's the Just Cause that we talked about. And then Dancer of Life is a reminder to have fun and just to dance with the flow of life and not just try to have everything a specific way. And, you know, sometimes going with the flow is good. You might learn something if you're more spontaneous.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for sharing the five top values.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I love that there's like, it just sounds like a story, you know, when you're listening to
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's
well, like, you know what, when you know your values and you start to practice sharing it, it does sound like a story.
It's so beautiful the way that you mentioned Strong Heart, Love First. I imagine like a heart in a garden with people and dancing. People are dancing and connecting with each other. It's just like this beautiful, almost like a Disney movie, you know?
Oh, thank you.
From your years of experience of working in leadership and people development, what makes a great leader?
Yeah, so what a great leader for me now is someone who is able to take ownership for themselves. So starting with leading themselves, leading self, and then be able to lead others. And when I say about leading others, it's really about empowering other people, lifting them up, seeing their potential, coaching and loving them. And so, but in order for them to do that for others, they need to do that. They need to come from a place where they're really good with themselves so that they can do that. So it's got to be a two-way thing. You can't just lead and not take care of yourself and lose energy, because then, you know, you're not being a best version of yourself. But you can't just take care of yourself and not lead others and give back. So they both go hand in hand.
What do you see as the future of world leadership?
The future of world leadership. Well, it's a dream. I mean, I don't know what the future holds right now in terms of where people are at. We've got a lot of leaders, world leaders, that have a hard position right now as it relates to all the different things that are happening in the world. And it's going to take some courage for them to step up and do, you know, what's right and follow, you know, listen to other people, have empathy and compassion, but do it in a way that's human, that's loving and compassionate. So I'm hoping that is the future of leadership, is that it goes to that place where they're leading from a place of love versus fear. Right now, I feel there's a lot of fear in the world. And again, it's going to take that self-awareness piece and taking the time to take care of themselves so they can be better for other people. That's my hope. I hope that's the future of world leadership.
Thank you so much for being on the Inner Leader podcast again and sharing a lot of your insights, experience, wisdom with the audience. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Inner Leader podcast. If you liked this episode as much as I did, please spread the love and share it with your friends and family on social media to support our guests and the show. They will appreciate your incredible love on this beautiful day. Thank you for being an amazing listener on our show. Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help us grow our community. Subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you haven't already. You can also send us a DM on Instagram at The Inner Leader to introduce yourself, ask questions, and make future requests for the show. We welcome you with big hugs always. And before you go, make sure you share this episode with your friends and family. Spread as much love as you can because the more you give, the more you receive. And remember, today is the day. I love you. Mwah. Until next time.